Victorious Christian Living. And on Sunday night, we've been talking about faith and how to have it and what it was and things like that. And tonight, we're just going to look at a command about faith, and it's in Mark 11:22, very simple. And Jesus was speaking, and it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." And so he was just making a blanket statement to them. And they were wanting maybe to know the details on how to get out of the situation, or how to make it through a situation, or can this just go away, and things like that. And he answered and said, "Have faith in God." And so a lot of times, a simple answer is not enough for us. We want to say, okay, have faith in God and pray for this many hours, or have faith in God and read this many scriptures, or have faith in God and pass out this many tracts. And all those are good things. But the key there is just have faith in God. If you don't understand, I enjoyed the song this morning, not just because it was my son singing it, but the message of it. There's a lot of times we're going to come across things that we don't know how to handle, or we don't know what's going on. So when we don't know, we just trust Him. And so that's what this statement is all about, and that's what Jesus was saying. God is in control. He allowed it to happen, or it wouldn't have happened. Nothing catches Him by surprise. Nothing sneaks up on Him. And so what we need to do is just have faith in God. So got a couple of introductory statements, and we'll get into the outline. And again, not planning on being here too awful long tonight to get you some rest and get ready for VBS. But a couple of introductory statements. It says here, as we start each day, we should start it in faith. And of course, if you look up verses that have new day or today or another day, it tells us that His mercies are new every morning. So if you need some mercies, they're new every morning, and they endure forever. And so same thing, if you have another day to go through, there's faith available. God's not going to say, okay, I've given you faith and I've given you leadership and I've provided for you for this many days, but tomorrow it's not going to be there. I'm not going to give you mercy. I'm not going to give you faith. I'm not going to give you provision. We'd just be on our own. But God's not that way. God says, I'm going to give it to you every day. I'm going to give you breath of life until I'm ready for you to come home. I'm going to give you mercy because we're all going to need it. And we ought not take advantage of it, but it's there if we need it. And then I'm also going to give you faith. So every time a new day starts, we ought to start it in faith. Okay, God, I'm not sure what I'm going to face today, but I'm just going to trust in you, have faith in you. You're going to let me go through it. And that's why the Bible tells us we ought to know how to answer every man, because we're going to face people that's going to have questions, or they're going to respond to us in a way that we should, that we shouldn't respond back to them. But God will give you the faith to handle all those things. Second statement is this. When we come to the end of the day, just like if we're going to face a new day, God, give me some faith. At the end of the day, maybe we ought to sit there and, bring to remembrance some things that took place today. And, God, I wasn't expecting this, but thank you for allowing me to do the right thing. And I was trying my best to have faith. So in other words, we kind of recount the faith that God gave us that day. And obviously, that'll strengthen our faith. Next statement is this. Whether sunshine or rain, it will help if you have faith in God. I can't remember what day it was, that it rained pretty hard at my house. First time it's rained there in a while. And that was a blessing. And the ground sucked it up quick and it was gone. But now it's crusty again. But we can have faith in God whether it doesn't rain. We can have faith in God if it does rain. Next is this. Have faith is not the key. Just to have faith is not the key. And I know that, what? Have faith is not the key. Because you can have faith in the system. All right? We can have faith in the system, and sometimes the system fails us. Because it didn't say have faith in the system. And then we can have faith that, I just have faith that everything is going to work out. No. And some of us say, I just have faith in myself. I don't trust anybody else. I trust myself. And I have faith in me. And that's not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, have faith in the system. It's been working for how many ever thousands of years. Just have faith in the system. No, just have faith in circumstances. It'll just all work out. Or have faith in yourself. No, what did Jesus say? Have faith in God is the key. Have faith in God. Psalm 121:1 says this, I will lift up, we read it this morning, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. That's the key. We don't lift up our eyes to the system. We don't lift up our eyes to just circumstance. We definitely don't lift up our eyes to ourselves. We lift up our eyes to God, where it's going to help, where it's going to come from. So faith is made up of belief and trust. Faith is made up of belief and trust. So many believe in God. Got to be a God. There's no way this all would be here if there wasn't a God. So yeah, I believe in God. But then that's where we stop. We don't put our trust in that God that we believe in. So we have to have both. We need belief in God and trust in God, and that He's going to take care of everything. So worry is a lack of faith that God's going to take care of things. And I know some of us, we worry. Our fingernails are gone to prove it. Or our complaining spirit all the time is enough to prove it. And then just our worry. So we must learn to trust and have faith in God completely, and He's going to take care of everything. So now it brings us to the outline. So point number one is this. God did not fail men of the past. God did not fail men of the past. You say, well, how can we have faith in God? Look at His record. Again, you have people out there, you do a background check on them before you hire them. Maybe you do a background check, or it shouldn't maybe be maybe, it should, you should do a background check if they're going to watch your kid or whatever. In other words, their record. And if it says, you know, liar, thief, and been incarcerated for this many times, ex-con, things like that, that gives you suspect. I don't know if I want to trust this guy. I don't know. But if you look at God's record, He never failed anybody. So we can put our faith in Him. So we're looking at, Jesus said, have faith in God. Well, why? Number one, God has never failed anybody in the past. He's always come through. And sacred history, Bible, sacred, you know, points of history. Says here, sacred history points that no man who had faith in God was ever disappointed. I mean, there's all kinds of Bible stories in that book right there, of different dispensations and different times and things like that. And not one said, you know, God helped Moses, but He didn't help me. God helped Joshua, but He didn't help me. And we could just go through the whole Bible. But there's not one person in there that could say, He failed me. He let me slip. He let the circumstances happen to me and did not help me. Nobody can say that. God, sacred history says that He did not disappoint anybody. And of course, we could go to Hebrews 11. It always gets mentioned when you're talking about faith. And by faith so-and-so, and by faith so-and-so, 25 different times that it says by faith in the book of Hebrews, verse 11, and all those people were not failed by God. He helped them. And then we're talking about sacred history. I don't know if you've read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, but those weren't in the Bible, but they were captured and put in that book. And it's a true book about people that were martyred for the cause of Christ. Obviously, we might think, well, that proves that they were failed by God. They all died. They were all martyred. But if you look at the stories, and you know, it's tough to read that. I don't know if you've ever read it. But it's tough to read it, you know, what they went through because they would not discredit God, or they would not renounce Jesus Christ. And these guys, it says here in the Fox's Book of Martyr, tells us what men and women with faith in God faced every unconceivable torment that you can imagine, but their faith was not faltered. And it says about them that they sang unto Him while their bodies were being consumed. I mean, that's tough. We think when everything works out, you know, oh, this is what I prayed for. Praise God, You're awesome. I got faith in You. You've never failed those guys. You've never failed me. But then we see people that gave their life for the cause of Christ. That's why this is important, because people died for it so we could have it, so it would not get destroyed. That's why our faith is important. Why? Because people died for it, so it would not be discredited. So God never failed the men of the past, whether it be in Hebrews 11 or whether it be in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, or how about even this? People that you knew personally that had faith in God that influenced you, that they're not here anymore. They're in the past. I could just go down the list, and I'm sure you could too. My grandparents, they had faith in God. And they influenced me. And were they perfect? No. But they influenced me. There's been preachers that I've read and sat under that are in heaven now. Were they perfect? No. But their faith influenced me. Why? Because God never failed men of the past when it came to faith. Number two, God doesn't fail men of the present. Okay, just like He did not fail people in the past, He will not fail people in the present. Mark 11, we were right there, verse 22. Now listen to what verse 23 and 24 says. God won't fail the men of the present. He's no respecter of persons. He didn't fail any of the Bible names. He didn't fail any of the people in the Fox and Book of Martyrs. When they got to heaven, one day they'll get a crown for dying for the cause of Christ. He didn't fail. He didn't fail the people that we looked up to that influenced us. Secondly, He doesn't fail men in the present. It says in verse 23, "Verily I say unto you that whosoever," so this is anybody, "shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and thou shalt not, no doubt in his," and he has, I'm sorry, "shall no doubt in his heart, but still shall believe in those things which he saith, shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them." And so right there, God doesn't fail the people in the present. And of course, we talked about this. This is another place where that example of the mountain being cast into the sea shows. And we talked about that it's not about the mountain. It's not about that. It's about God that can do it. It's about our belief in God that can do it. So just like He didn't fail these people of the past, He's not going to fail the people of the present. These words are shocking to modern materialistic minds. But Jesus said them, and He meant them. Or He said what He meant, and He meant what He said, is basically what it's talking about in these verses. And so if we can just believe God, He'll give us what we ask. Now, again, I know that we ought to pray. The Bible says not to pray amiss, and the Bible says not to, you know, we ought not to pray outside of God's will, and things like that. And so we can't take these verses out of context, but if we believe God, He can do whatever. I don't know if you've ever read much about George Mueller, but he was very well known for his praying paralysis or his praying faith and things like that. And it says here that George Mueller, he read these verses before he started praying. And it says right there, if you believe and you ask whatsoever you saith, you're going to have it. And so, of course, George Mueller, he would start by reading this verse. Then he would pray his prayers. And before he would finish praying his prayers, as he was ending his prayers, he would go ahead and thank God for answering the prayer. That's how much faith George Mueller had. And, of course, if you read his stories, I mean, there's times where he was praying for certain pieces of property. He was praying for certain amounts of money for certain buildings. And, I mean, God just did it. And, again, he just had faith in God. So God will not fail the people of the present. So God can do and answer any prayer. This is what hinders answered prayer. Faithlessness. So if we don't have faith in God, that'll hinder prayers. The Bible talks about hard-heartedness will hinder our prayers. It talks about the pleasured or the pleasure mad. In other words, they like their pleasures more than they like anything else. That'll hinder prayers. Money craze, the love of money is the root of all evil. That'll hinder our prayers. Credit taking. You know, I want this because I want to show off, and I want this because I want to be praised. That would hinder our prayers. But if we'll just have faith in God, He can answer our prayers today. So a saved child of God should know every promise in the Bible. So that's what, when George Mueller would say, "God, you said." I've heard some people say that our prayers ought to be almost kind of like a lawyer in his cross-examination. In other words, most lawyers, they're prepared. They know the ins and the outs of the case. They're not just winging it. They've done some research. They've done this, and they will answer their, or they'll ask their question in a cross examination. Now, you said this, and they're like, "I didn't ever say that." And they'd say, "Well, the record shows," and they would go back and show them right where they said it. All right. So when we pray, obviously we can say, "God, you said in this book, if I believe in you, you would give me what you prayed or what I want." And so we have those promises. And so every child of God should believe the promises of the Bible. And this book is a gold mine. And I kind of referenced a song this morning. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. And praise the Lord for those children's church songs. Teach you those truths like that. Another one, it says this: every promise in the book is mine. Everybody heard that one before? All right. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And then it goes on to say, in all the blessings of His love divine, every promise in the book is mine. And that ought to stick in our head. So when we can have faith in God, it's not faith in our abilities. It's not faith in our Christianity. But it's in our faith should be in the promises in the book. So whatever our need is, we should take that to the Lord in prayer. So number one, God did not fail the men of the past. Number two, God does not fail the men of the present. And of course, you can probably get the third one. God will not fail men in the future. God will not fail men in the future. Most of us worry about things that will never come to fruition. Well, what if? And you know, people, they freak themselves out. God's got it. You know, He's got the whole world in His hand. He's got me and you, brother, in His hand. I mean, He's got it all. He's under control. So what if, what if, what if? You know, what if Trump would have died? What if what if Biden gets it again? God's still in control, no matter who's sitting in the White House. Amen? So He's in control. And so let's don't freak out and worry. It might be a little tight. Finances will be a little tough. But anyway, so we ought not be the type of person, you know, that we just anticipate trouble. You know, it's not going to work out. I applied for that, but it's not going to work out. Well, I asked her out, but she's going to say no. Well, I did this, and it's just not going to work out. And it just doubt. And so we ought not be that way. Well, you know, have you asked her out yet? No. Why? Because she's going to say no anyway. Well, you don't know until you ask. Have you applied? No, I wouldn't get it. Let's not anticipate trouble. Some people, they try to cross the bridge before the bridge is even there. Well, what's going to happen if we just stop? All right, let's put faith in God. And God knows where the bridge is, and God knows He's going to take you across it, and so forth. So just cross that bridge when you get there. Just have faith in God for right now. Some of us, we spend sleepless nights thinking about, and we could just fill in the blank. We're like, oh man, what if this happened? Oh, if that happened, oh, God. And you know, and the next day you're like, hey, what's wrong with you? I hadn't slept much. Why? I was worried about it. Worried about what? Oh, something in the future. No, God's got it. That's what the Bible calls it, sweet sleep. If you're right with the Lord and He's not convicting you, and you're not worried about anything because you're putting it in His hands, I mean, you can saw some logs. But many people, they're so worried about, oh no, what if, what could this? Things which we will never come to pass. Chronic worriers. Glass half empty. Sun's not going to come up tomorrow. We can develop a bad habit of worrying. Why? Because the devil, that roaring lion, he's gonna shout those doubts. You know, God's gonna let you fail. God's not gonna give you that. He can just shout. And so, but the Bible says in a verse, and it is a song as well, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So we got to put our faith in God. Always, what if? No. Let's not what if. Let's just wait. Let's just trust God to take care of it. Here's a couple of Bible promises on that issue. Psalm 37:5, commit thy ways to the Lord. What you're doing is, okay, God, I'm giving it to you. This is the job you've given me. This is the house you've given me. This is the wife and husband you've given me. This is the family. This is it. I'm committing my ways to you. Then it says, unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So I'm going to trust God with my life. I'm going to trust God with my wife. I'm going to trust God with my family. I'm going to trust God with my ministry. I'm going to trust God with everything. Why? Because He can do it way better than I can. So I just commit my ways unto Him. Lord, bless this. Lord, help me this way. Lord, do this for us. You know, all that, just commit it to Him. And it says here, trust Him. He will, He shall bring it to pass. He's going to take care of it. If God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. If God doesn't want it to happen, it's not going to happen. He's in control. So even the future, God is in control of, and we can have faith in Him. Psalm 37, 25 says this, and do not laugh. All right, now you're wondering, what's that verse say? I have been young, and now I am old. Yet. All right, that's the next verse. I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So all these things, don't worry. Well, how can you say that? Because I've been young, and I was fine when I was a kid. You know, obviously I trusted my parents to feed me, to clothe me, to provide for me, things like that. And then the older I got, I realized God was helping them out. All right? He was probably just doing it through them. No probably about it. But then now God, I know He can do it. Not because I'm anything, but I've just seen it from when I was young and when I was old, that God, the righteous is not going to be forsaken. And they're not going to be begging bread. God's going to take care of it. So here's some promises. Commit your ways. God will take care of your future. All right? You've seen it. You've been young. I won't say you've been old. But we've seen the righteous never forsaken and his seed never begging bread. Matthew 6, 25 through 26 says this, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. So God's like, don't just sit around and worry. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to this? What am I? No, no. Take no thought for your life. For what you shall eat, or whether what ye shall drink, nor yet for what your body, what ye shall put on. Is not your life more than the meat? So you're more important than the food, but God's going to supply. And your body more than the raiment? Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? I mean, the Bible says a sparrow can't even fall to the ground without God knowing it. Didn't catch him by surprise. No, but what he was going to do was feed the ants and feed any other kind of beetle or anything that might come eat that sparrow that fell on the ground. And this verse comes to fruition. You just drive up down the roads here. You see those buzzards out there. They're throwing down. All right? Possums. You know, they're looking at you. You seen some, oh, yeah, there's some possums over on 458. Ooh, I don't need me some possums today. Right? There's a deer on 555. Huge one. Come on. God does that. You know, we're like, oh, poor pitiful. God was just taking care of the buzzards too. He's going to do that. That's what it says here in this book. Don't worry about the future. God says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to even wear. God's got you. He'll take care of it. And if He can feed the birds, He can feed us. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 and also 19, it says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So I'm not saying don't pray about stuff. I'm not saying don't ask God for it, but ask Him and have faith that He's going to do it. It says here, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, we know on our prayer list there's people that's got diseases and God could heal them. And we pray for that. But His healing may be different than our healing. His healing say, okay, I'll heal them, but I'm going to take them home with me. And He did exactly what you asked Him to do. He healed them. They don't take cancer up there. They don't take any other kind of disease up there. All right? They get healed. They're departed from us, and we'll get to go with them, praise God. But God says, hey, I got it. So the future is settled. It's safe. It's secure. God's like, hey, I'm going to supply for them. And just let your request be known. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And then skip down to verse 19. It says here, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So just have faith in God. God did not fail the men of the past. God does not fail the men of the present. And He will not fail the men of the future. And so in conclusion, we see here, we just have to have faith in God. I guess the first faith we have to have in Him is this believing in His existence. And you go to the Bible and you open it up and it says, in the beginning, God. Wow. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I just believe God's always been there. And the Bible says He will always be here. So we just have to have that believing faith. Put your faith in Him. And so if in the beginning He did all this, and there will never be an ending, just wrap your believing faith on God and it'll be all right. Then I remember that next faith that we had to have, that saving faith. When that conviction of the Holy Spirit kept pounding your heart that you weren't born again, you weren't saved, and that just pricking and pricking and pricking. And just like you believe that He created you and He created this world because you had that believing faith, now you're like, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Please forgive me and come into my heart and save me. And now you got saving faith. And the Bible says that'll never leave. Just like He will never stop existing with that believing faith, we'll always have that saving faith. It was so cool, and I've said this before, it's kind of like riding a roller coaster. Man, that was awesome. Let's do it again. But then you looked and it was another 3 hours in that line. You're like, nah, let's go ride something else. But that time where you could just loop because there was nobody there, that was fun. But we can't get saved again because we had that saving faith. And once saved, always saved. So we have believing faith in Him. We have saving faith in Him. Then we talked about it this morning, about being not conformed to this world, but being transformed. So we have what we call surrendering faith. And we talked about it this morning. I present my body a living sacrifice. I surrender myself to You. Do with, send wherever, whatever You need me to do, God, here I am. That's that surrendering faith. And we talked about that this morning. I don't know about doing that because God would send me to Africa. Or I don't know about doing that because God would do this or God would do that. No, just surrender. Again, I promise you, God can help your life be way better than if you're in control. Surrender faith. So we saw believing faith. We saw saving faith. We saw surrendering faith. And then we talked about this in Sunday school. It's that serving faith. You know, I'm just not a people person. I can't do that. But the Bible talked about our tongue ought to be a testifying tongue. It ought to be a witnessing tongue. We ought to find a somewhere to serve God. And lo and behold, there's verses in there that says, hey, if you'll just believe in Me, get saved, surrender, and try to serve Me, I'll give you the words to say. I'll fill your mouth. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the power. And you know, again, I was that way. I was an introvert. The only thing I wanted to talk to was girls and about sports. That was about it. That's all I could muster up in front of a classroom, do an oral book report. Just give me a zero. I'm sitting right here. I'm not getting up there in front of people. And when I would get up the first, you know, again, my first sermon ever, I think, was like 3 minutes. I said everything I knew in 3 minutes. Because I had one of those preachers when I surrendered to preach. Okay, you're preaching next Sunday night. What? I got up there, Bible says, blah, blah, blah. Sat down. How long was that? 3 minutes. All right. Now you're like, shut up, dude. Blah, 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 blah. All right? Because God can just give you what to say. So saving or serving faith, God will fill you and give you what to do. Two things and we'll be finished. Phillips Brooks had an acrostic of faith. I thought it was pretty good. And it says here, forsake all, I take Him. That's his faith. Forsake all, I take Him. And in any capacity or any situation or past, present, or future, I take Him with my past because I have one. But praise God, it's under the blood. It's as far as east is from west. It's behind His back. It's in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought up again. It's just like I never did it. So I trust Him with my past. My present, I was young and now I'm getting old, but I still trust Him with my present. And I know I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I just trust Him. So forsaking all, I take Him. And the last thing is a statement that D.L. Moody said. I'm going to read it to you like he said it, and then I added a few things. Not that I'm smarter than D.L. Moody, but I just want to make it fit for this sermon. All right? It says here, if you stand on the mountain of faith and look down, things will seem easy. Now, this is him speaking. If you stand on a mountain of faith, you look down, things will look easy. But if you are in the valley of doubt, they will, those same things will look like giants. And so that's the premise. And then he goes on to say, but what God needs is men and women of faith. But I added something to that. I'll read it like I wrote it now. If you stand on the mountain of faith and you look down, things will seem easy. But if you look from the valley of doubt, those same things will look like giants. But what God needs and what this church needs and what even this world needs is men and women of faith. Because that's God's plan. God says, hey, I left the Christians down there to be lights unto this world. And so, yeah, God needs us, but so does this world. Again, you know, in our day and time with the political realm and the social realm and all the things that are going on, it's kind of drudgery. But I don't want to be one of those doubters. Like, it's no use. You know, you can't get anybody saved these days. There's no way we can build a church these days. There's no way that God can do these days. No, I don't want to be that way. I want to have faith in God and say, hey, God said, you know, if my word, it's not going to come back void. So we just give it out. And if we put our faith and trust in Him, He's going to take care of, He did in the past. He's doing it in the present. And He will do it in the future. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for faith. And we thank you for the command to have faith in God, found there in Mark. And Lord, I just ask you to help us. Lord, you tell us to do it. But then you'll turn around and say, hey, look, I'll help you do it. I'll give you what you need to do it. And again, I'll bring you out on the other side having done it. And Lord, I ask you to help us to have all those faiths that we talked about, the believing faith and the saving faith and the surrendering faith and the serving faith. And Lord, I ask you to help us to live the Christian life excited, have that abundant life that you came to give us. In Jesus' name, let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us in the invitation. If you'd like to come pray and ask God to strengthen your faith, the altar is open.